And thank you to our scouts for that reading. Remembrance Day. We are here to remember. We're here to remember those who have died in conflict down the years. We are here to remember those who fought in those conflicts. We are here to remember people who are still fighting, our troops out in Afghanistan and in other parts of the world. We're here to remember some amazing people. There have been 1,352 people awarded the Victoria Cross, which is the highest award for gallantry in the face of the enemy. I don't imagine that the name Surgeon Captain Martin Leake means a great deal to anybody. Or perhaps Captain Noel Chavas, or Second Lieutenant Charles Upham. Has anybody heard of any of those three? They are three amazing people who won the Victoria Cross not once, but twice. There are a lot of other names that I could mention. I'm sure most of us have heard of Rorke's Drift, a conflict in which 11 Victoria Crosses were awarded in one single battle. A battle in which 150 English soldiers held off a force of 4,000 Zulus. Guy Gibson is a household name for leading the Dambusters raid. And not only did he lead that raid, he led the force of Lancaster bombers against the three dams in Germany. But having dropped his bomb and having realised how heavy the anti-aircraft fire coming from the dam was, he circled back and flew in alongside the next aircraft to take some of the weight of fire from it. More recently, three people who are probably household names. Staff Sergeant Oz Schmidt, who was posthumously awarded the George Cross for his work defusing improvised explosive devices. He had disabled 70 such devices, and they are really, really nasty devices. They are designed not to be disabled. But he had disabled 70 of them, and he was killed during his last day in theatre in Afghanistan. He was due to come back home the following day, but he did his duty right to the very end. Lance Corporal Matthew Croucher, who was a Territorial Army soldier who was on duty in Afghanistan, he managed to trip a booby trap, which was a hand grenade. And he saw this thing roll into the middle of the room where he and the other members of his section were. And he thought, well, I set this thing off, so I've got to stop it. Anyone know what he did? He lay down on top of it. He lay down on a live hand grenade. He had the presence of mind to lie down on his back, and he was wearing a rucksack which cushioned the blast, and he escaped with nothing worse than concussion. And lastly, the last name I'll mention is Lance Corporal Johnson Vahari, who is the most recent recipient of the Victoria Cross, also one of the youngest, who, despite appalling wounds to his head, managed to drive the vehicle in which he was and thereby save his fellow soldiers. We remember them with thanks because the sacrifices that they make keep us safe and free today. We remember them with admiration. Who can but admire people who do such things? We must remember them with aspiration too, that should we ever be in that position, we might react in a similar way. And we must remember them so that the lessons of history are not lost or wasted. Now, all of that's very dramatic. It's what you might call Hollywood bravery. It's the stuff of films, isn't it? And there aren't many of us here today who are called to such bravery, at least not on a regular basis. We are called to a different sort of bravery, but a bravery which can be no less scary. Somebody said that true heroism is remarkably sober, very undramatic, it is unglamorous. It is not the urge to surpass all others, whatever the cost. It is the urge to serve others, whatever the cost. And that is what I think is the essence of Christian bravery, and I think is the essence of the uniformed organisations who are here today. Now, I'm going to exclude anybody who's wearing a uniform, apart from Ian. But who can tell me what the Scout motto is? Oh, there's one hand up, halfway up there. Jean? Be prepared. Now, Gavin told me that you guys down the front here know all these questions, and there are going to be some questions which I'll fire at you in a moment. But yes, the Scout motto is be prepared. And that was the message of our reading this morning from Thessalonians. Paul is telling the Thessalonians to be prepared, to be ready for the day of the Lord, the day when the Lord would come again and all men would be called upon to answer for their actions. So how do we make sure that we are prepared? It strikes me that the Scout promise and the Scout law is relevant. So, Scouts, no pressure. Gavin, I know, is confident in you. So let's hope that his confidence is not misplaced. Four parts of the Scout promise. Who can give me the first one? Oh, Gavin, it's not looking good, mate. First part of the Scout promise, yes. To do duty to God and Queen. That's actually the second part of it. Anybody do the first part? I promise that I will do my best. That's the first part. Why do you do your best as a Scout? Because it is important. The second part, as we've heard, is to do your duty to God and Queen. How about the third part, anybody? Yeah? To be kind and helpful to others, yes, well done. And the fourth part of the Scout promise? To keep the Scout law. Okay, we're doing well, but we're now on to Scout law. Who knows the Scout laws? There's pressure, seven parts. The first part of the Scout law then. A Scout is to be trusted. Second part. A Scout is loyal. Part three. Absolutely friendly and considerate. A Scout belongs to the worldwide family of Scouts. Well done. Fifth part. A Scout is to have courage in all difficulties. Part six. Pressure's mounting. Come on then, Joanne. A Scout is to make good use of time, take care of possessions and property. And the last one then. a scout has self-respect and respect for others. Well done. Your faith was not misplaced, although I have a suspicion there might be a crib going round here somewhere. But well done to you all. Absolutely. Be prepared. Be prepared. Good plan. So, do you think that you need to be brave to keep the scout promise and scout law? One or two nods? I think you do. And by the same token, do you need to be brave to be a Christian? Yes, I think you do. We're not called, as the saints of old were, to face death for our faith, at least not in this country. But we still have to be courageous. But there can be no courage without fear. You can't be a part-time scout. You can't be a part-time Christian. You cannot be prepared part of the time, because that is no good. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, we have got to be prepared all the time, because we don't know when we are going to be called upon. General George Patton wrote that moral courage is the most valuable and usually the most absent characteristic in men. Moral courage, the most valuable, but usually the most absent characteristic in man. And this is the bravery that we are called to. We are called to stand up for the promises that you make as scouts or as members of the other uniformed organisations. You are called to keep those laws, not just when you're in the scout uniform, but always. And by the same token, as Christians, we are called to keep God's laws, to keep the promises we make, and to be a Christian 24/7, not just for an hour or so here on a Sunday. So what is courage? There are many definitions, but the one that really appeals to me is this. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to make the right decision and to do the right thing in the face of fear. We read in the Bible that perfect love casts out fear. If you love your uniformed organisation, if you love your uniform, if you love the scouts, the beavers, the cubs, the rainbows, whatever it may be, then your love for that organisation will give you the courage to stand firm in the face of fear. Think for a moment about your heroes. Not the chocolate ones that sit on the top shelf so you can't reach them, but your heroes, the people you respect, the people you look up to, the people who you want to be like. And ask yourself this question. Would they make it as a scout? Would they be able to make the scout promise? Would they be able to keep the scout laws? How would they measure up to the uniform that you're wearing? If they wouldn't measure up, then I would suggest that they're probably not the hero for you. Another great American general, MacArthur, said this: last, but by no means least, courage, moral courage, the courage of one's convictions, the courage to see things through. The world is in constant conspiracy against the brave. It is the age-old struggle, the roar of the crowd on one side, and the voice of your conscience on the other. Will you listen to the roar of the crowd? Or will you listen to your conscience? Will you listen to what you know to be right? The only way we can be prepared is to keep the promises, to keep the laws, to keep God's word at the very heart of our lives. And that takes courage. Not Hollywood courage, not the courage of Corporal Johnson Bahari or of Oz Schmidt, a different sort of courage, but a valid sort of courage, and a sort of courage that we must hold to. And I leave you with a verse from Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is praiseworthy, think about such things. Put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.